Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, I'm Emily Jensen, and I just want to welcome you guys to a special episode of Risen Motherhood today. Pretty much from the very beginning, Laura and I knew that we wanted to address just the painful experience of miscarriage and just give gospel hope to hurting moms. So while neither Laura or myself have been through this personally, we do both have really dear friends and family who we have just watched walk through the painful loss of pregnancy. But we really wanted to do due diligence to this topic, and so we got a couple of women to interview so that you could hear just firsthand truth from the mouths of moms who have walked through this grief with their faith still in Jesus. So today you'll be hearing from Madison Hoffmeyer and Abby Hummel. While they are both just really different women with different stories, they both have experienced multiple miscarriages before the birth of their first child. And they both, as you will hear, felt abandoned by God at times, and they questioned His goodness and their faith. But they also both found deep comfort and hope in the promises of God as they were just trusting Him through the pain of miscarriage. So today, just Laura and I are hoping that whether or not you've experienced a miscarriage, or maybe you know somebody who's experienced one, or you're just like walking through a really hard circumstance as a mom, we want you to know that this episode and these interviews were recorded with you in mind. So our prayer is that these women would just leave you more in awe of God's just deep love for you and His deep care for you. And we just also desire that you would just hope in Jesus, even in the really hard places, which is exactly where He wants to meet each and every one of us. So without further ado, I will let you guys listen in to Laura and Madison. Well, hey guys, this is Laura Whiffler, and today I'm really excited to have my friend Madison Hoffmeyer here on the show.
Hello.
And Madison and I go way back. We've known each other for quite a while. I mean, we met in college, right?
Yeah, we met sophomore year in college.
So. Yes. So I'll let Madison introduce herself to you a little bit further so you guys know her background. But suffice it to say, she is amazing and just a wonderful friend of mine and someone who I have always admired seeing her go through things and just walking life with her for now. How many years has it been? Gosh, like 9 years?
Something like that. Crazy. Time flies.
Yes, crazy that we've known each other. But I will let her do the introducing and tell you guys a little bit about her beautiful family and who she is and what she's about.
Well, like Laura said, my name is Madison Hoffmeyer, and I blog over at espressoandcream.com.
Follow her blog, everyone. It's amazing.
And during the day, I'm a freelance food writer and recipe editor. I live in Iowa with my husband, Joe, and our 15-month-old daughter, Ainsley, and two very adorable but rambunctious dogs.
Super cute puppies.
Yes. So that is me in a nutshell. We just moved from Minneapolis, which is how I knew Laura. Mm-hmm. Or, well, we moved from college and then up to Minneapolis. And we are now living in a small town in northwest Iowa.
Yeah, so you guys have bounced around a little since college.
We have.
But it seems like you found a good home base.
Yes.
So that is good. And let's see. Anything else? You told them what you did.
Yes.
Where you live.
Yep. I don't blog full time or anything like that, but I like to just share encouragement to, it used to be a food blog and it turned into sort of a mom blog. I said that was never going to happen.
Happens to all of us.
Right? So now we write a little bit about everything, and Laura is my design inspiration.
Oh,
so
my word.
We renovated a house, and now I'm just trying to, you know, get inspiration from her.
Oh my goodness. Well, and Madison is the food. You guys, this is what you should really know about Madison. She won
Rachel's raised. Oh, gosh. This, I'm pulling up history here.
Yeah, back way in the archives.
She won Rachel Ray's Hey, Can You Cook?
Yes. So I had my 15 minutes of fame on reality TV doing a cooking show.
Yes. And Madison has actually, you've done a lot in media before. Yeah. Because you used to work for Better Homes and Garden.
And then I worked for General Mills. And yeah. Lots of opportunities to do media and camera and lots of cooking.
Yeah, so if you Google her, you'll find some really amazing throwbacks.
And some really embarrassing things, yes.
Every once in a while I'll shoot Madison an old picture and be like, look what I found on Google. Look at your hair.
Gosh. She got my hair.
So anyway, what we are talking about, though, today is a very serious topic. We're talking about miscarriage. And when Emily and I were chatting through this topic and wanting to just bring gospel hope to the topic of miscarriage, one of the first people that I felt like I wanted to bring on the show and just have her explain her experiences was Madison, because Madison has been very public in the past about her experience. You can go to her blog and read a lot more. But she is just one of those women who carries through trials with excellence and grace. And her perspective on this has been, for me, really enlightening and encouraging and just helpful as someone who hasn't experienced a miscarriage. Madison has taught me so much about how to care for others in that and speak to them. And it's just been amazing to see God work in her life. So I brought her in today because I want her to share her story. And so Madison, can you just explain or share your experience of what's happened in the past?
Absolutely. So as Laura mentioned, we do have experience with miscarriage. My husband and I had two miscarriages prior to having our daughter Ainsley. And we really weren't trying to get pregnant the first time around. So it came as a complete surprise. I don't even know why I had a pregnancy test at our house. My husband was on a work trip and I decided that, I might be pregnant and took a pregnancy test. It was positive and, the typical emotions you have when you're totally caught off guard. But very quickly, those uncertainties turned into excitement. We were like thrilled. In our naive nature, we told all of our family right away before we even had a doctor's appointment. And I went to my first doctor's appointment by myself and thinking they're just going to do boring things like blood work and all those intake things at 8 weeks. But they decided to be overly eager and do an ultrasound. And I, would have preferred that Joe was there, but yeah. He wasn't. And so when they did the first ultrasound, it showed that the baby did have a heartbeat, but a very low heartbeat. And so they sent me home and said, don't worry about it. Go home for a week and we'll see you back next week. And of course, when people say, don't worry about it, what do?
You worry.
Right. And so I did a lot of too much Googling and we came back a week later and the baby no longer had a heartbeat. And so it was, it really caught me off guard. I was not prepared. I didn't know a lot of people who talked about miscarriage. I didn't know much about it myself. So it was a big education for me right off the bat. And I didn't at first, I talked publicly about miscarriage later on, but at first I didn't. I kind of kept it to myself for a good 3 months before I even thought, maybe this is something I want to process in a more outward way. And so eventually I did write about it on my blog and shared about our experience and kind of the healing process that I had been going through, and just was overwhelmed by the outpouring of support and love and encouragement that people sent my way. People sharing their stories. It was amazing. I mean, I heard all these women and I just needed to know I wasn't alone.
Yep.
And our doctor assured us, like I'm sure many other women have, that you don't usually have more than one miscarriage in a row. It's very common. It doesn't mean anything to have one. And so we proceeded. We weren't trying to have our first, but we decided we were excited.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start a family. And 4 months later, we got pregnant again. And at this point, both of my sister-in-laws were also pregnant. So we were all going to be due within 6 weeks of one another. And there's a lot of excitement with that.
Yeah.
We anticipated what it would look like. We had a healthy appointment, ultrasound at 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. We had every reason to believe things were going well.
Yeah.
And we went to our 12-week appointment getting ready to announce to everybody. And they weren't able to find the baby's heartbeat on Doppler. They went in to do an ultrasound. And I still remember like the feeling in the room and as I knew what they were going to find. I just had a mom intuition that things weren't going to be okay. And I had said to my mom before I went to that appointment, I said, if our baby is not okay. I don't know how I can believe that what God says is true. And I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. And I said, I can't watch my sister-in-laws move on with their pregnancies if we can't move on with ours. And so it was both my own personal sadness, but it was also compounded by being in such close proximity to pregnancy and to celebration and all those sort of things that made it even harder. And so it was a very scary time. It was a very hard time, in a time where I was just asking a lot of questions of God and a lot of questions of myself and my own heart at the same time.
Can you explain like some of the questions specifically that you did ask God?
Absolutely. I think the thing that I came to more than anything was I just like wrestled with this whole, like, how can God be good? You know, did I do something to anger him, to insult him? Some, you know, people, I really struggled with hearing all these moms talk about their babies and talk about how, I think the thing that hurt me the most was hearing, I'm so thankful that God thought I was fit to be a mom of these kids. And I started to feel like, wait, like, what does that say then about me? Like, does God not see me fit to be a mom? Does, you know, does it have anything to do with my faith? Is my faith not strong enough? Like, why am I experiencing this? And ultimately, the question that I, through processing and through writing, that I got to was, is God still who he says he is, even if he doesn't give me what I want? And what we want, I think many women want more than anything, is to be a mom. And so I said, like, even if I'm not, if that never happens, because people were well-intentioned and they came up to us and they said, it's going to be okay. Like, God is going to give you that baby that you want, or I just know it's going to, you're going to end up with a healthy pregnancy. And I know that's what they meant, it from a great place of encouragement. But to me at that point, I said, you don't know that. Like, who are you to say that that's true? I want to believe it's true. I want to hear hopeful stories. But I also need to be at this point where if God chooses to say no, if that door is not opened, that he's still the same God that I read about in the Bible, that I believe in. His promises are just as true in that as they were if we had a kid.
Amen. And it, I know you guys can't see Madison and I, but we both have tears in our eyes. You know, just like, I remember walking, you know, on the pass, on the river with you, and we were chatting about a lot of these things, and it just feels just still so raw. Like, I can sense the emotion and just how it feels for you still today. How many years? A couple years.
Two and a half years.
Oh my goodness. And that is like such a valid question. You know, anytime we're going through trials or suffering or pain, to say, like, is the God that, you know, that I believed in a week ago or a year ago or whatever, you know, is that God the same? And how can God allow suffering, a good God allow suffering? And that is a question that we're not going to get deep theologically into today. So sorry, I know that that's like one of those like red flags and we want to answer. And, you know, maybe Emily and I will tackle that at some point. But the truth of the matter is, well, can you explain too how God worked in your heart to show you that he was still good? And at some point, I really would love for you to share your third baby's story as well, because I think that will play in. But just, you know, what were some, did you have scriptures or verses or a moment that people shared with you that gave you hope, or words?
I think the thing that really, like, I clung to, because I wanted to be able to celebrate my sister-in-law's pregnancy. And I wanted to be able to have joy in that. And that was the biggest, hardest part, was to just be in close proximity to that. And yet at the same time, wanting to be able to celebrate. And so I, like, I really clung to the verse that said, like, laugh with those who laugh, like, mourn with those who cry with those who cry. And I thought, like, I'm just going to dig into the hard. And I realized, like, women out there who are in the situation I was, like, don't think that you have to just dig into the things. There are some things you can't do, like, like a distant friend's baby shower. Maybe you can't go to that. But I did say, like, I'm going to do the things, like, I am going to give the middle finger to the devil and say, like, you are not going to steal my ability to celebrate and be joyful for the people I care about. And so I said, like, I'm going to throw a baby shower for my sister-in-law. Like, I'm going to, like, send my maternity clothes off to one of my sister-in-laws. Like, I'm not going to allow this to, like, steal all that joy, even if I didn't always feel it. Because I'm human. I did not always feel it. It was very hard. But at the same time, I just was like, I'm going to dig in to the hard and hope that that brings joy. Mm. And it did. Like, being able to think outside of myself and my circumstances really helped me to continue to move forward.
Yeah. You chose joy.
Right.
You chose your attitude, your response.
Right. And sometimes it was just my actions and my response. And it wasn't the attitude, but that came later.
Yes. That's a really great distinction that we won't feel it.
Right.
And that is, again, why I love Madison, the class act, and just carried through all of that with grace. I mean, I think that shows a real strength and God's just graciousness on your life of, even though through these horrible, horrific trials that happen, like, he gave you and granted grace to say that you can maintain relationships with those around you. Because I think that's something that is really difficult in miscarriage.
It can be very isolating.
Yeah.
You withdraw from friends who have kids or friends who are pregnant, and pretty soon you're withdrawn from everybody.
Yeah. And so what would you say to someone who's feeling that, like, inclination of wanting to say, put up walls and barriers?
I actually found that a lot of the healing came from sharing more openly. Mm. And not everybody's going to know what to say. And you can't expect them to know what to say. Like, Laura had not experienced it. I didn't expect you to be able to come to me and, like, have all this wisdom or whatever. But people, I think you need to remember, people are genuinely well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. And even though it might come across the wrong way to you, they probably are just not sure how to walk with you in the grief.
Yes.
So I would say that you, like, lean into it. Like, people might be awkward. They might not know what to say, but people were so good to us too. I mean, they sent us flowers and they brought us meals. And at first I felt a little silly. Like, I'm still okay. I can walk around and make dinner, but just letting people love me. Mm-hmm. And then it taught me a lot about being able to love other people in difficult situations too.
Yeah.
So I think if you're comfortable, the more transparent you can be, the more that it will bring healing. It will show you that there's more purpose in your suffering than just your own.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. And I know, you know, we've seen Madison, your story, just be shared. I feel like I see Madison's stories pop up on Facebook from, like, random people all the time. And it's been amazing to see how God really has used that time of suffering for you for ultimately his greater glory. Because you have always been such one to point, you know, the glory back to God. Yeah. And can you think of or point to, like, specific areas of hope that God has given you through miscarriage? Now on the other side of what you would say, just like evidences of his grace that you've seen.
For us, it was to see, like, our daughter now is 15 months, and the way that the pregnancy's progressed, there would have never been a way that it would have overlapped, that we would have been able to have one baby, if not the other. And I think that was totally God's grace.
Yes.
Some people ask, like, does it still really, really hurt? And yes, it does. And it still obviously brings me to tears. But at the same time, I see our daughter now, and I think she couldn't be here if it weren't for the sequencing and timing of other events. So that helped me process, because I felt like she is exactly the baby God wanted us to have. It doesn't diminish our other children. Like, they are real and deserve to be celebrated just as much as our daughter who's in a crib upstairs. Yeah. But that just helped me realizing God has a plan. Like, he really does. And he works it out in an intricate, sometimes confusing, sometimes painful way.
Yeah.
But it really does work out, even though it sounds so cliche, because people say that all the time. It'll all work out. Like, it works out how God wants it to.
Yes, exactly. And what, can you share a little bit, just the story about your daughter? This is amazing, you guys. You're all going to have chills.
Well, we got, we had a DNC after our second pregnancy, and we got pregnant 6 weeks after our DNC. And I had never had, with any of our miscarriages, any bleeding or spotting. And the third pregnancy, I started bleeding and spotting right before 4th of July. And so we went into the ER. My husband had a work trip coming up, so we said, we better just figure out what's going on. So they did a very early ultrasound at, like, 5.5 weeks. And when I went in, the ER doc said, I'm really sorry to tell you, but it appears you're going to have a molar pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who know anything, it's like, that's a mass of cells that can potentially turn into cancer. And it may or may not. It's very intensive. You have to have, like, 6 months of clean pap smears before you can even start trying again. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. And I said, what are the chances that we'd have 3 miscarriages in a row? And then also, this is a molar pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I was just angry. Honestly, I took the piece of paper, I ripped it in half, and I walked out of the ER. And I just said, forget you.
Wow.
And my doctor said, let's come in to see our regular OB doctor. They're more skilled at ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I went in the next day and they said, I'm sorry to confirm, but we believe the same, that it's a molar pregnancy and that this will not turn into a real baby. And my doctor, I think in just trying to be merciful to us, having walked this road with us, said, we can get the DNC done tomorrow. Mm. You can have it done before the holiday weekend. I don't want you traveling.
Yeah.
So we decided, I went home and talked with my husband and I said, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I need to move forward. I need to have this done. I just want it taken care of. And I was just emotionally spent at that point.
Yeah.
And so I was going to pick up the phone and call and make the appointment, and something stopped me. Our mm-hmm. pastor had talked about leaving room in our life for God to do miracles mm-hmm. in this day of science and of knowing all the facts. And so we said, let's wait. Let's put it on Instagram. Let's ask everyone to pray for us and wait a week. And we did. We went in on our third anniversary, and I had the DNC scheduled, but we went into the ultrasound room right before. And they said, you're not going to believe this, but we see a baby and the baby has a heartbeat. And I don't know what we saw in a week ago, but there is a real live baby here. And sure enough, our real life baby is here. She's a healthy 15 month old. And
so beautiful.
Everyone was in disbelief, but you know, it was another story of just God working miraculously.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and you guys, I'm like totally sobbing. I was like trying to be quiet the whole time, but Ainsley is so beautiful. And just to hear that story of redemption, you know, that like God has brought you just so low,
yeah.
you know, and really just lots of surprises and unexpected things and just deep sorrows. And then like, it just feels like a complete miracle
right.
to bring Ainsley. And every time I see that little girl, I just feel like there is a story of God's redemption
right.
and healing at work and just his mercy in all of our lives. And I think like just remembering how miscarriage comes from sin because we are broken bodies, mm-hmm. because the world is corrupt. And, you know, that's the causation of it. That's the reason why painful, sad things like that happen. But in God's great mercy, he has created redeeming stories and definitely done that for you, you know, and just been gracious to bring, like you said, you would never even know Ainsley would not exist had so much of this, you
right.
know, this painful story not happened. And I'm so grateful that you can see the blessing in it. And on the other side, just having hope and how you've been so open in sharing your story. Is there anything else you want to add or encouragement maybe for a mom who's specifically going through something like this?
I would just encourage you that sometimes your greatest ministry might come in a way that you don't think it does. I promised God, I said, I'm going to tell everybody we know about our story and about Ainsley's story. And it has been such an introduction to talking about God and Jesus mm-hmm. in unexpected ways.
Mm.
You know, somebody says your daughter is cute. Sometimes I'm the weird person who says, she is such a miracle. You know, let me tell you. And so it is a great, like, sometimes you may think, like, down the road, you find a great ministry through your suffering. And mm-hmm. whether that be that your child was adopted down the road mm-hmm. or you ended up with a whole plethora of children.
Mm-hmm.
God writes cool stories and allows you to use it for his glory.
That's so true. Yeah. Everything you don't expect uses it for his yeah. glory. So, okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Madison. I really appreciate it.
I said I always wanted Risen Motherhood to be longer, so I did my best part to be a little long-winded for you guys.
She's extending this one, that's for sure. So, yes. Well, really appreciate it again, Madison. And you can find her blog, espressoandcream.com, and then find her on Instagram and Facebook. And any other channels,
main channels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So check her out, find her old stories. We will post her stories in the show notes. So you can certainly head over to Risen Motherhood to find the direct links to the, some of her miscarriage posts that have been really impactful. And I think that's it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Well, hey guys, Emily Jensen here, and I am glad you guys are joining us today for this special episode about miscarriage. And today I'm talking with my friend Abby Hummel here.
Hey, Emily.
Hey. And I am excited to have her. We have known each other for 4 or 5 years now. Does that sound right?
Yeah, something like that.
And we met actually through a Bible study. We were like the only two young, really young women in this kind of like leadership group. And so we like instantly bonded.
Yes.
And eventually actually her and her husband ended up at our church and we got to know each other a lot better for several years before they moved, which is really sad, but we're glad that they are on to things that they should be doing with their lives. So that's great. But I definitely miss having her around, and Abby will be sharing more about all the things that she does, but she is just a fellow writer, and I call her, in my own mind, a fellow theologian.
Yes.
She discusses, like, all things, like, if I have a hard-hitting question or topic, like, she will sit and discuss it with me, and I love that Abby has kind of a nerdy side, like I do, about different things, I think. And I was just, last night, actually, I have another topic I want to ask you about, a nerd thing that we won't talk about.
Okay.
And she just has a heart for children and for her family and for the Lord. So I'm so, so excited. I know that you guys are going to just really relate to what she experienced, and you're going to leave feeling just encouraged by what she has to say. So I want to let Abby talk now. Can you just share a little bit, Abby, about like your family makeup and maybe what your days look like and what you do writing wise.
Sure. Well, my husband, Aaron, and I have been married for 8 years. We have two children that are very young, very young. They are exactly 13 months apart. So they're almost two and almost one right now. And before they were born, we had 3 miscarriages over the course of 4 years. So, they were kind of spread out. And then right after the last one, I got pregnant with my daughter very quickly. And then when she was 4 months old, I found out I was pregnant with my son. So we are sort of like feast or famine with babies around here. So I am thankful for the feast right now.
Yeah. And so you also, which that keeps you super busy during the day, as I know those little ones have lots of needs still. So what do you do when you have any extra time on your hands? Or making extra time on your hands?
Yeah, you definitely have to make it. So in my dreams, I would like do crafts and write on my blog. And I would have these, you know, fabulous articles and series. And I would just be like cranking it out. But in reality, I've moved 2 times in the last 2 years. And so I have spent a lot of my free time painting and trim and figuring out how to make my furniture work in different houses. So,
And you guys have a dog too.
Yes.
So
I keep myself busy.
Definitely. So Abby has an awesome blog that we will link to, and she's got a lot of articles where, she does talk about miscarriage. And, have you done any other interviews too? I feel like content other places.
I did one that I probably won't link to because it's a little bit long and rambling, but I have talked about it sometimes, and I'm really happy to do this. And I know, man, my first miscarriage was like 5 or 6 years ago. And in the meantime, so many more people have been opening up and talking about this. So there will be a lot of great stuff in the show to share that was not available when I had my first miscarriage.
Yeah. Well, I am grateful that you are willing to talk about this. And that was one of the things that I just appreciated and like learned so much from Abby when we were walking through this season. I think I might have been pregnant with my first child when we became friends, and you were probably walking through maybe a second miscarriage by then. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, and I think I remember, Emily, the first time we got together, and we maybe we'll hit on this later too, but I remember you just really standing out as kind of a rare woman, and that you, you know, you were pregnant with your son, and I knew that you were going to ask me, you know, what we were thinking about kids. And, but I, you know, I was honest with you, and you were very like gracious to enter into that with me instead of letting it become this awkward thing we couldn't talk about. So,
Well, the appreciation is on both sides, because I think we have a lot to learn. And like, I think walking through that with you was just really helpful for me to see too, and just gave me a lot of different gratitude and perspective and compassion. And I'm a little bit more cautious now when I ask women who've been married for a while, you know, I want to ask in a way that is gracious, because you don't ever know what somebody has been experiencing. So right. I know that you shared a little bit that you had 3 miscarriages. So what was kind of like that timeline like? What can you explain that experience in more detail? Maybe some of the things you were feeling.
Sure. I was 24 the first time that I got pregnant. I was, I'd been married for 2 years, and I ended up losing that baby at about 8 weeks along. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, almost exactly, I got pregnant again, had another miscarriage very early. And then it was 2 years until I got pregnant again. And then that miscarriage was kind of weird and funny. And there were just kind of some more complications that went along with that one. But ended up everything happened about when I was about 12 weeks along. Mm-hmm. So I had very like different experiences, with each situation, which really kind of taught me a lot. Like, no miscarriage is ever like, there's not just one miscarriage story that everyone has. Everyone has their own experience. And I found it really, really challenging in a, like, to my like spiritual walk with the Lord. And I was a Christian. Yeah. I would say I'd been a Christian forever, but man, it was, I've got really intimidated because, like, probably everyone, I would like go online and I'm like, okay, like, you know, searching Google, like, I just had a miscarriage, or, you know, like, what does the Bible say about miscarriage? And I was really intimidated by what I found, because there wasn't a lot of information available, coming from a Christian perspective. And the stuff that I did find was usually people that would say things like, I, you know, just trusted in God the whole time. And, you know, I was like leaving the hospital for my DNC, and I just had this overwhelming sense of peace that God was sovereign and taking care of me. And that was not my experience at all. Yeah. And I felt very, I felt like God had abandoned me, or that I was like missing out on my call because I wanted to be a mom so bad. And so I'm like, am I just missing out on what God wants me to do? Like, the Bible doesn't really say a lot about miscarriage, so how is this relevant to me at all? You know, like, am I going to be isolated forever? Am I always going to be looking at my friends who are moms and wondering, like, if I can even fit into their lives?
And so do you feel like, how did that send you then on kind of like an exploration process? Like, I know that you have a deep relationship with the Lord now. And so do you feel like in that time you were able to turn to scripture, and kind of, did he lead you to some of those answers on your own as you studied the Bible? Or how did you kind of get to, you know, a more hopeful place, or kind of work through that then if you felt, you know, very abandoned?
Yeah, well, I definitely hit a point after my second miscarriage where I was like, I have to figure this out, because if the Bible is not relevant for this, if I'm going through this, and it's just a really emotionally difficult thing for me. I was very, very affected. And so, like, if the Bible does not speak to this, and if God's like, hey, I am totally sufficient for you, I've given you my word, but you are on your own for this, I was like, I might have to be done with this Christianity thing. Like, I have to figure out what's going on. And so, so through this, I really, it kind of cemented, you know, my ability to look at scripture as a whole and not just individual verses. I used to kind of think that maybe it was just the context. I just needed to know, like, what was going on with the author, or what, you know, like, what Paul was, where he was coming from and who he was writing to, and I'll figure out what he means here. But really, the ability to look at scripture and see the gospel on every page, really, that's really what I needed to do to fit miscarriage into this. So looking at it from that perspective, I was able to see, like, creation. God created things to work the right way. His first command is be fruitful and multiply. So, so God, you know, created us to, like, procreate and have babies. And it's good that I wanted to do that. And that's what you know, would be happening in a perfect world.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the fall, death comes in. So mm-hmm. the death, even very early on of a baby mm-hmm. is like happens because of the fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then the redemption comes, like Jesus paid that. Jesus also died. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus is the Son of God. And so mm-hmm. I'm not alone in that because God had to watch his child die.
Yeah.
You know, and then like we see the restoration, like, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's like the Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah saying all flesh, you know, all flesh will see the Lord together. Mm-hmm. You know, that will happen. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, in Exodus when God's people are going to the promised land and God promises them, you know, in the promised land, there will be no miscarriages or barrenness. You know, that's also talking about heaven. So,
yeah.
So fitting all of that in, was what I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see God at work in this and to know that I was mm-hmm. not abandoned in my grief.
It is so powerful to me. I love what you shared about God watched his own child die. And I know that probably any mom that's listening, whether she's had a miscarriage or not, you know, that is like one of our deepest fears as soon as you have that pregnancy test is that you're going to lose a child. And whether that's inside the womb or outside the womb, I think we can all relate to that. But it is just amazing to me that God can relate to that, that like God went through that and he can then relate. And that is an amazing truth. I'm glad that you brought that out and just... So how do you feel like the redemption portion gave you hope or like ultimately how did you see then God working in your life after you kind of saw the gospel throughout scripture and started to see all of that play out?
Yeah, well, in on one sense, it helped me to kind of figure out where God wanted to use mm-hmm. those situations for my good. And so I can mm-hmm. see, obviously a good thing that came out of that was a better understanding of how God is speaking in scripture to every situation mm-hmm. that I face. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, I really feel like I had a vision for using mm-hmm. the grief and that difficulty and those very frustrated maternal instincts that were, mm-hmm. you know, coming along with that, like to bless other people. And so, mm-hmm. I feel like now that I have babies, it's a little bit harder. And I know there are people that I like email me and want to talk. And I am like, not always great at responding to those because I have so many little needs, but just still letting the way that I can care for other people who are mm-hmm. suffering, you know, kind of using the things that I want to do to mother the children that I will never meet. Mm-hmm. You know, that energy kind of gets focused, on building other people up that are also hurting and suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been an incredible ministry that has kind of come out of this. It seems like
absolutely.
That's a way that you are able to share the gospel with women or like speak into tough places that you previously wouldn't have.
Right. Right. So I'm really humbled to be able to do that. And I hope mm-hmm. that it's something other people are doing as well, because man, miscarriage is really common. You know, yeah. a lot of people have miscarriages. Yeah. And I'm just really glad to see so many people able to talk about it in terms mm-hmm. of the gospel, because it's really a shame to have a common experience like this. Like so mm-hmm. many women, so many mm-hmm. women experience this. And so being able to talk about it in terms of the gospel yeah. is so important, mm-hmm. you know, to just share this with people and to
give hope, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so what would be, you know, if you were able to have this, you know, one-on-one coffee conversation with every, you know, woman listening who's been through miscarriage and is either in the middle of the grieving process or is still trying to understand if God is still for her in this, you know, what hope would you share? I'm just saying kind of on the other side, but you do have, you know, two children and you've had a little bit of time to heal. Like what would you say is kind of some hope there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first thing primarily is that the gospel gives us the freedom to really grieve in this, and it is okay for death mm-hmm. to be a really big deal. Mm-hmm. you know, if death was not a big deal, then the fall is not a big deal, then Jesus coming back is not a big deal. This is a cornerstone. So it is okay. It is okay for death to be really bad and for a miscarriage to really take you to like the depths of your soul, if that's what needs to happen there. So you don't need to be ashamed of feeling really bad about anything with that. And then the other thing is, you know, by Jesus dying, you are not alone in, you're not alone in that grief because God is there with you. You know, we see this and that knowing, you know, God watched Jesus on the cross, but also I think the Psalms are a really great place to turn in this because all throughout the Psalms, we see, you know, Psalm 119, I am weary with sorrow, strengthen me according to your word. Or Psalm 31 says, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, for you have known my affliction. Like you have known the distress of my soul. And so we see just throughout there, there's so many times that we see, I am in sorrow, I am weary, I am afflicted, I am in pain. And God says, I am with you. My word is sufficient for you.
That's really encouraging even for me to hear and be reminded.
So, you know, just that we are not alone. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and that is, you know, that is our comfort. You know, his word preserves our life.
Well, Abby, I have been really encouraged by talking with you today and just hearing the way the Lord brought you through this and continues to bring you through it and has just given you a gracious heart to, I guess, minister this to other women and help point them to Jesus, which is the answer for all of us. No matter where you're at or what you are struggling with, I think, you know, we want to make it more complicated than it really is. But at the end of the day, we all need to turn our eyes upon him and rest our hope in him. So I'm so glad that you were willing to share today. I wish we had a whole nother episode to talk with you about your cute babies and all of the things that happened after that. But I hope that this, you know, we were able to at least get this part out that definitely needs to be talked about. So so we will have on our show notes today, I will link to Abby's blog and any other relevant. We'll have a lot of articles that are relevant if you are struggling through miscarriage. And so, Abby and Madison have both been really gracious to provide a lot of good resources there. So thank you again for joining us. You can find us on risenmotherhood.com. We are also on social media. I think everything is there. So thank you guys for joining us. If you have any feedback about this or you have other questions or you want to get connected to them, you can always email us too. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for being here, Abby.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
All right. See you guys.